Good afternoon. This is Rob Knapp. Who's on, please?
Hey, Rob. You got the Evergreen Valley Group.
Hi, Rob.
Hey, welcome. Welcome, welcome. So, on this bright, shiny afternoon, what is on your mind?
We're just sort of moving through it here. We're still in the same place we were last week in terms of, I know that this week we're supposed to be like 40% of the clients that we're reassigning there. We still don't have any direction in that regard, so we're behind in that respect. I think that's a little frustrating, to be quite honest with you.
Mm-hmm. How about
I would assume you're dealing with that with other Morgan R complex people that may or may not have started yet.
Yeah, I mean it's unique. Unfortunately, it's a challenge in some communities, and you just have to figure out how to get through it. I would think you guys would be working pretty hard on that, since this is
We want to, but that's our problem. Like, as we've told you before, like, we have a former financial advisor program with our retired partner in March, so anybody we give accounts to has to split the revenue with that advisor for 5 years.
Right.
Okay. We were told at the beginning that Tim and team and Isaiah and everybody were going to work at giving us some ideas on that. They were very adamant that we get into this program with you, which we're excited about. And because we are at this place where we want to process, and then other teams in our complex are also going into this program. I'd love a rookie. Like, I'd love one. Like, two of them if we could, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been in this sort of stage of limbo where we're waiting for the folks that wanted us to do this to come back to us with, based on everything you read and write about and talk about, it's pretty important that we drill down the number of clients we have, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, based on everything you read, it's like the number one thing we need to do. So I guess as we're into week four of this, and I got crickets on what to do, and if we can do it.
Crickets.
I don't know if you've heard anything on your end. I mean, it would be helpful to know if because again, I don't want to. Like, you're taking your time and we're taking our time and we're trying to get into this process, but it's gonna be really hard to like take our top 300 clients, schedule hours for everybody, which our goal would be to have that up and running by the first week of January.
Sure.
And Rob, this is Melissa from the group. Just one question that I have, as we are trying to work around that. We know that that's an obstacle, and we're still trying to work around that through our books, since we do have a large number. But do you have any recommendations on your end on how we continue to work through that? Because I don't see that challenge going away anytime soon. For us, not being able to move accounts to anybody because we just don't have anybody. But do you have any recommendations on how we can continue to push through and work through that?
I mean, here's what I would do, guys. Obviously, I'd keep placing phone calls to people that have that responsibility in order to, just make sure they know that you're not all set, You want
right.
to let them know that we're still out here, we're still trying to do this.
Yeah.
Right. So I'd keep making those phone calls every week until you got an answer. But what I would do would be to go ahead. I understand you're not eliminating the problems and you're taking on more service, which will be frustrating, but I would still go ahead and do, say, the top 20 clients each.
Okay.
Build the folders.
Yeah,
for
that's
them.
Probably more doable, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's that's
kind of where we've been at. I mean, we've introduced it to our top people.
Yep.
Right. With enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
So.
In between Mike and Tom, the advisors currently on our team, they have started doing the monthly calls with the clients. So that has been helpful to introduce. And we're still segmenting the book on when we do have the opportunity to move accounts. But it is just that has been a challenge for us because it does take a lot of operational and service time for those clients. But again, we're still trying to push through that challenge. I just didn't know if you had any other ideas on what we could do.
Now, if you send them to the service center, what happens to that?
We have limitations on the service center, so there are strict requirements for clients. So any clients that are eligible for the service center, we actually have a service center household application that we go into, and if they are eligible, we are able to move them through that application. However, any clients that have appeared on that list are clients that generate revenue for us and usually fall on, the top 100. So the clients that have appeared on there that we were able to send and we agreed as a team, hey, this will relieve some pressure, we did do that, but it wasn't many. And there's not many on there that we're able to send to the call center.
Yeah, it's not like the old days when we used to have this thing called MiFi, and you could send any account. I mean, it's like the call center now has got
very strict.
Doing the supernova, it seems like.
Yeah,
right? So
very strict on what.
You know what I mean? So like we just we run into some difficulty too. Like we have a legal deal with our current clients, so like I get a little nervous if I'd like talk about somebody outside the firm. We have to be careful, but at the same time, we want to make sure that we're doing this. You know, we're all trying to be committed to it, you're not doing it for free, right? So, we're gonna move past it. We're a pretty optimistic group. We're on it. But I just wanted to kind of, every time we brought it up, there's been somebody else on the line that said, hey, we're going to talk about this offline. And we do, and then it doesn't go anywhere. So I just want to make sure that, you're aware of that in case as we get farther down this road, we're not sure that we're going to be where we should be based on the week over week, even though we're doing our best to make the most of it.
So the hostages are still in the embassy in Iran.
Yeah, no, exactly, man. We're just talking about it on TV,
Right.
The weeks are going
back.
Yeah. No offense to you, we were given the book, but then we were like sort of singled out to like do this. Right? So
Because we have room in our book to alleviate some pressure, which we all agree.
For us to do it. We want a process. Like, all of the reasons internally for us to do it is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But we are also asked by the folks that need to help us to do it. So,
what are the numbers? What if you had a magic wand and you could eliminate the bottom, what would that number look like? And then what would that leave you with?
How many households do we have?
We could easily move 82 right off the bat.
Yep.
Yeah, 82. Like, easy.
Okay.
If we have some place to put them.
And we have 100 earmarked that we wanted to give a year because, like we explained on the last call, our senior partner just retired at the end of March. He wasn't very open to us getting involved with the clients for the past number of years that we worked here. So we're basically prospecting his whole book again, which has been positive in some angles. But again, we've earmarked another 100, and we just kind of wanted to...
Not necessarily to give a year, but we wanted to take at least the time to get in front of them.
Yeah.
Maybe run the plan for them, see what they actually have, because we have no idea what these people have.
Yeah.
I just had a lady in the other day who was kind of earmarked to go. And as she's sitting there, she's like, you know, my brother-in-law, she thinks the world of you. And I'm like, oh, really? And then I kind of put two and two together and was like, oh, man, this is a pretty, you know, decent client's sister-in-law. And she was on the list to go. And I was like, oh, crap.
One of our elderly clients who's in her 90s, her son, only had a small account with us, and we just brought in $2 million for him. So we are finding things that we didn't know were out there by being able to run the plan, get to know them, get in front of them. And that's just one of many stories that we have found up to this point. So it is kind of hard because we are still prospecting our senior partner's book. So I think, you know, back to our point about that 1 year or however long it takes to get in front of and realize, hey, do we have anything here? That's why we kind of said that year time frame.
And that's why it'd be great if we had, honestly, like two rookies, right? So, you know, we brought in $3 million in the last week. You know, so like we're cruising along here and trying, and like everybody said, and we'll beat it up. We want every client to have a plan. We want to go through that process with everybody. Our former partner was an old transactional guy. You know, his idea was of planning was the 4% rule. So you know, There's plenty of opportunity within the clients we have. We've already been able to earmark 82 households that could go right away that we know are either dead weight, aren't receptive. You know, Melissa will be coming online, so that would take us down to 100. You know, once Melissa's online here in March, April, May, there'd be 100 an advisor with another 70 kind of floating around there if we kept all of those that we've sort of earmarked as we're not sure. So, again, if we had a rookie, we'd be all right. You know, if we had two rookies, we'd be super all right. So, again, it's all about driving revenue and driving revenue from the top, you know, 20% of our book, which is really where we get the bulk of our money, as you're aware and we're aware.
Yeah.
So,
well, you sound frustrated, but you sound like you're in a really good place though.
We're optimistic. We're kicking butt. I mean, like our metrics are good. You know, where Tommy and I are, hitting record month every month over month. They just pulled all these, analytics on outbound calls to clients and time on the phone and all this. And between Tom, Melissa, and I, we led the, you know, we weren't individually ahead of the office, but we were in the top five, all three of us. Tommy's number two, Melissa's number
three.
I was three and Melissa was four.
Four or five,
right? Yeah. So like we're in control. You know, we keep a running call log of inbound calls every day. You know, many days it's less than five, you know, and a couple of those are garbage, you know. So we're taking the narrative, you know, and we think this process is a great one that we could, you know, definitely incorporate easily and make it more exciting in terms of how we market ourselves. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, we just want you to be aware, since you're our quote unquote coach, and we're having these weekly calls, where we're at.
Well, a lot of times at this stage, I'm still selling you guys on the process. So, you know, if you're in, I don't need to sell you. Now it's a matter of, you know, so that's, you know, I've had people that go through all 12 weeks and still not be sold on segmentation. So understand, you're way ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, you're fine. Don't worry about falling behind because you can't reassign these accounts yet. You're doing fine. I would just tell you to push yourselves as much as you can without making yourselves crazy, to try and get your existing, you know, even top 40 clients signed up. So if you feel like you've got some ability, because remember, when you sign them up, they stop calling. Now, you got to call them once a month, but, you know, with 20 clients, that's only one a day. So, with, you know, if you're on the phone that much, you know, with 40 clients, that's two a day. You can handle that, and they'll, those 40 clients stop calling. So it's pretty amazing the way it works. And if you only have five incoming calls anyway, that means those 82 clients or those other 100 aren't calling that much either. So you're okay. It's just you want to be complete. And we can segment in week eight. We don't care. I mean, we can get the whole thing set up and then segment in week eight, and you'll be fine. It's just annoying. You know, yeah, for you guys.
There it is right there.
Or outbounds are because of the maturity.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's annoying rather than it being something that's going to preclude you from moving ahead. If you had 4,000 clients, I'd say, no, you guys can't move forward. You're not allowed until you segment. But you're not that bad. And there's enough of you. And with Melissa, you know, do as much as you legally can, Melissa, to organize these people, make the calls, do whatever they allow you to do so that you have your own, quote, your own book. So you guys operate as if she's running her own 100 clients or whatever, you know, so I'm good with that. All right. Because, you know, we're at week four and we're supposed to have already segmented, but that's okay. That's our timeline that we put together in order to keep you guys going. And we, you know, because a lot of people we take on, you know, have 100 clients and they got to give away like 10 or something. So right. I don't want to waste any more time on segmentation than we have to. We move right on to organization then. And we're doing acquisition the whole time. So we're building our, you know, trying to identify our niches, our networking opportunities, and so forth. So it sounds like you guys are going to be really good at all this. You're prospecting your existing book, but, you know, that doesn't mean you can't be doing some prospecting outside too. So,
right.
So, progress in terms of networking or niches, identifying niches, and anything new on that side? We talked a little bit.
Not anything more than what we talked about last week, in that, you know, we have some commonality amongst some of Rob's clients that we've become aware with, Farmland Natural Trust, two country clubs or three country clubs in particular. Tom and I, you know, built our own personal books on, you know, it's funny, in your video today or this week, you talk about UPS. I've been a UPS guy for a while, since I started.
Good.
Tom's done stuff with the Marines and National Marine Association. So we have some generals as clients. I mean, we do the things that you're talking about. You know, like I go to Hershey Park Day with UPS employees. We go and do things for the senior people for their young business groups. We did seminars last year for pre-retirement in different parts of the country for them. That's how Tom and I started post crash. We've had to do that, right? You know, we didn't have the cold call life to build a book. And Morgan Stanley didn't do either of us any favors in the way that they set your bogeys. So you had to build it and build it strong. That's kind of all folding into then, you know, what Tom and Melissa and I have done in the city that we're all working in, how involved we get with things, picking up the relationships we have through the networking and that sort of thing. add to it now that we're able to now connect the dots with the clients that we were inheriting from Rob. It's been pretty interesting, pretty neat. You know, I had a client who just, you know, she just brought us some money, was in today. I was sort of talking about her work with the York County Literacy Society. So after she left, you know, I got on and looked at who the board members are, who the people that are involved give money to, just trying to connect the dots there with her because she's a pretty good client. So yeah, I think we're continuing to sort of try and gnaw through the onion, so to speak,
with each
of these clubs.
So you understand the community involvement piece and how important that is and how to build that relationship and become, you know, eventually you guys should all be, you know, parents of the community or fathers of the community, mothers of the community.
Right. Well, quite frankly, nobody in this town from a financial advisory standpoint that, you know, when we, none of us are from here. Right. We just work here. And we've worked in big, like I worked in Harrisburg, which is a slightly bigger city. You know, you'd run into them everywhere. In New York, they just weren't out. Nobody's out doing anything, you know, whether they're just fat and happy or what. But so Tommy and I started, and Melissa, we started doing stuff pretty heavy handedly about 5-6 years ago. And it takes time. But now, like we try to walk at lunchtime. We try to do things to get out and about and see people and shake hands. And you know, we do a monthly happy hour where we invite COIs out that aren't clients necessarily. So it's attorneys, CPAs, HR representatives. We've been doing that for 4 years. Every first Thursday of the month, we get a ton of referrals through that. It's just, you know, it's always building the blocks on top of each other. What's neat about it now is getting back to Rob's clients, they are sort of the folks that have been in this community a long time and have sort of the money and involvement on the level that we don't necessarily see being younger. And now we're able to kind of tie the ends together.
Sure.
Which is pretty cool. And as like the client does in my office this morning, her accountant retired. So it's like, you know, here's the young accountant that I know is really good, you know, call, you know what I mean? So, I think we're hitting it up at a pretty good time and place in that respect. You know, we may or may not be sponsoring the holiday decorations in town this weekend. I think there's a mix-up on that. We did it last year. We didn't say we were going to do it this year, but an email went out saying we are. So we're not.
Got a lot of good press out of it last year. We were on the news. We were in the paper. Every tag on every light post had our name on it, and they raised the price. So we said we didn't think we wanted to do it this year, but apparently our name's going to be all over it again.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just, we're feeling good about that. Like, I think, you know, Tom and I, you know, Rob never let us be lax in prospecting. You know, he never really, you know, as Melissa was saying, he never felt quite comfortable letting us get to know his clients because I don't think he wanted us to be counting our chickens.
Sure,
He
didn't want you to be trust fund babies.
No, exactly. And on our side of it, Tom and I, we were never quite sure if he ever would retire.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So we didn't want to necessarily have to rely on that either.
And when he announced his retirement, he went out very quickly. So we kept telling him over the years, he was talking about retiring, and we were just never sure. And we said, hey, we got to let the clients know about a year ahead of time. He told us in December of last year that he was making the decision to retire. And, you know, I said, okay, great, Rob, when is that date? And he said February.
Yeah,
we
had to force the letters out
in January.
MLKJ weekend, to Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. We send their letters out, and we said, you need to start calling clients because they're going to get these letters. And it wasn't until I think the first call came in a week later that he started making outbound calls. So we basically had a month and a half of clients knowing that he was leaving.
And he had a it was 300 clients.
Then he extended it.
Yeah.
March.
Wow. But he wasn't here.
Yeah. So again, you know, we had to get our arms around, hey, how many clients are we going to retain? Sure, they knew me, you know, from talking on the phone.
Some of them knew, but
not a lot. So I think we lost two accounts, maybe.
Yeah, we've lost less than ten. We've lost less than 10 clients.
And they were out of state clients.
There were a few that had high assets, but no revenue.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. So we didn't have
the relationship.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. Who has the background in marketing? All of you guys, or?
Yeah, we've all worked in sales in all different types of industry. Melissa had an HR background for corporate. Then she worked for banks. She was branch manager, assistant branch manager, you know, all those sorts of things. Tommy was selling, you know, was in the Marines selling insulation and building products and all those sorts of things and doing the conventions and all
trade shows. Yeah, lots of fun.
I sold advertising and worked for banks and credit unions, and we've all been in a lot of different places.
And Wendy's been in the industry.
And yeah, Wendy's been doing this for 30 years.
25 years,
you know.
Before that,
50 years.
That,
yeah,
so.
I mean, we just, you know, I don't know. We're all kind of people, you know.
Right.
So it's
I think we all come from backgrounds of, we know that the world we live in is all about relationship building. So we know that, hey, our world looks different, and we do have to, you know, build relationships with clients. It does take time. We know that, but then being able to run them through the plan, and just, you know, building that over time. So we get that, and I think that's all what we've been trying to do.
Like I said before, we all have a post-2008 view on how to do this business because we didn't know it before that. So
okay.
We've always prospected with planning. We've always prospected with the whole view. We've always prospected with the idea that we're a personal CFO, that we're not stockbrokers. That were, you know, so.
And my role on the team at this moment in time, my title changed when Wendy came on board to the Wealth Advisory Associate, which is financial planning, getting geared up for the advisor role. But that's what we have been doing. We've been doing joint meetings, running clients through the financial plan so we can capture their whole picture, and just trying to bring in assets along the way. So.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. How much did you spend last year on marketing? How much did the firm provide, and then how much did you guys?
That's our rub, right? Like we've always done it with smoke and mirrors, right? So, I mean, dollar wise, Rob got $5,000 in marketing dollars, but he'd spend it on printer ink. Tom and I each get $500. So we'd rely on our partners, our wholesalers, partners in the community. You know, where can we do this for that? The cheapest way,
where
most effective.
Checks right out of your pocket.
Yeah, I've written a lot of checks out of my pocket.
Yep.
Leveraged the firm a little bit.
This
year
we spent a lot this year
because we took it from Rob's, the way he went out, we were able to get his money.
Yep.
So we did. We did two dinners with our two 40-person dinners of our top clients in the last 3 weeks at a place locally that makes old style Italian mozzarella and sends it to the big restaurants in New York City and Louisiana. And
I believe that's what Rob's book has been looking for. Rob never did client events, because he always said nobody would show up for him. So he was very against client events. We sent Thanksgiving cards. I've been here since 2013, and that's what we did every year as a client thank you. You know, so the events was definitely a hit. The clients loved it, and I think that that's what they have been looking for, to be honest with you. So it was very nice when we could do that this year.
Yeah.
All right, so guys, I want you to put together what you spent from every source, okay? It doesn't have to be completely exact, but you need to do that, okay? We did these events, and this is what we spent, and this is where it came from.
Okay.
And then give me that total, and then what you want to look at is spending about, I mean, let's look at 2% of your revenues as a budget for marketing.
2% of revenue?
2% of your revenues for marketing, and see how that compares to what you've spent in the past. Now, here's the key for you guys. You spend the money, you bring in, let's say, you know, I was just working with a client that had, $1.3 million in revenues, and their number was, we were looking to spend about $46,000, $50,000 on marketing. And the key was, you know, if we bring in one $5 million client at 1% all year from that budgeting, we get paid back the money we spent, not net after taxes, but or net after the firm takes their money out. But let's just say in 2 years we're even, right? But we get to keep that money, that revenues forever, you know, for the next 30 years. So you want to front end load as much as you can in terms of marketing effort. Because every dollar you bring in now lasts you. It's like investing for a 1 year old. Mm-hmm. You invest as much as you can at 1 year old because they've got so many years to leverage it. And in your case, you've got so many years to leverage your hard work. Getting them in the door and keeping them is critical.
Yes.
Yep.
Now versus spending it later. You're going to pay. You're going to, you know, you may feel it a little now, but it's going to pay off so much better. Nobody does it, okay? I mean, yeah, a few people do it, and they're smart. But very few really take advantage of the leverage that this business gives us to be community leaders and to be involved in boards and get involved in community things, you know, that the community will just love you for.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to get a local magazine to write an article about you. Now, usually you have to advertise in the magazine, but you make a deal with them. Look, you know, we're helping with this. We did the decorations for Christmas for the last couple of years. Write an article about us, and then we'll buy an ad. And the guy goes, great. It's a great article, and we love you guys. And, yeah. So then, you know, the ad pays him, you know, and you get an article. The advantage of the article is that it will be on Google for you guys for the next 20 years. Every time somebody Googles you, up comes this wonderful article about you. Instead of, which guy is this? What team? Where? We can't even find him, right? So that's marketing. People don't get it.
There's one other team. Like we say we don't see anybody out there, but there's a team from Jenny Montgomery in York here, and they're always in the magazine. You go over to we have a little baseball team here called the York Revolution. They got their advertisement out in the outfield. They kind of irk me a little bit because all the stuff that I kind of want to do, and then I see them popping up and doing it before we have a chance to run it over. But
yeah.
They're like, out of all the financial people who are in, all the different advisors who are in York, that team does an excellent job at that, and that's really who we're going up against when we do that stuff, and that's what we need to be doing.
Yep.
Well, and you know what? Long term, talk about a merger. Recruit him.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that would work out if they'd be willing to move. I know we're here for at least another four and a half years. You know, just to keep our word to our old senior partner, but you know, I wouldn't mind going head to head with them on some marketing. It just you know, there's just an example of somebody who's doing it right.
Yeah.
Sure. You learn from them, you know, figure out what they do right and do what they do and go to head to head. No, it's great. You know, it's smart. It's, you know, I teach this stuff in my book and it's so hard to get people to understand the leverage of marketing. They just, you know, they don't spend any money. They don't get involved in any boards. They don't see what community involvement's going to be. I said, that's where the money is, guys, on these boards. You'll never meet those people. They're the most important people in the community. They're on your boards.
Have you read the $1 Million Financial Advisor?
Yeah, sure.
The section in there about the boards where the guy down in Atlanta started with the board that cost $1,000, then he went to the board that went to $10,000, and he got on the Trout's Unlimited and met Ted Turner.
Yeah, that's Dave Mullen.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he's like, yeah, I didn't work with anybody unless they had $100 million or more.
Right.
That's
no,
a good
I work with Dave. I hired Dave to run Minneapolis for me when I was running the Midwest. And I encouraged Dave to go into coaching. And then he wrote his books, and so we've been friends ever since. We both started pretty much coaching and teaching at the same time. So we work together.
Definitely teaches the power of being on boards, that's for sure. If you do it right.
Right. You gotta do it right. And you gotta put some money behind it. But no, that's a great story in Atlanta. I know those guys. So it's a good book. So we're out of time, but I think we covered quite a bit. I love what you're doing with UPS. You know, find the next UPS. Maybe there isn't one, but look for it. That's a great story. It's a gold mine. You know, milk it for everything it's worth. Those guys had a ton of money when they came out, stock did well, and nobody knew. They were very unfamiliar with investing, so it's still a great place to go and
right.
Build your brand, you know. So, yeah. Okay. So,
all right, sounds great.
Yeah, you're doing great. You're a great team. I'm very excited for you. You know, make sure you build your, you know, take his clients and put them on Supernova and build that wall of competence around them. You know, build a fort around them so they, you know, there's nobody going to give them a better client experience than you guys are. So that'd be an urgent, at least the top 40% of his clients. I would go after them right away. Okay?
Sounds like a plan.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Terrific. Nice job.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you guys, too. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.